Lecture topic, Queen of Paradise Fatima Zahra, part 2.
You know, when you read this, you imagine, as a father, when my understanding is so limited, but I think it's more than my son. As a teacher and a tutor, it's so restricted, but I assume it's more than my student. And I'm trying to impose upon my child certain values. And he is arguing with me, he is challenging me, he is denying what I'm telling him, and it's so painful. It causes such emotional trauma. The Prophet ﷺ was exposed to paradise and hell. So the level of conviction that he had, no one else could have. The affection that he had for Abu Talib and the support that Abu Talib did for him, possibly our family have never offered it, and we don't have that affection for anyone so close. The footnotes of Jalalain in number 4, the entire dialogue is written there with reference to Tafsir al-Jamal. He is now completely sick. He's on his deathbed. It's the last moments. His speech is not very clear. He says, قَدْ عَلِمْتُ أَنَّكَ صَادِقٌ قَدْ عَلِمْتُ أَنَّكَ صَادِقٌ what do you say? Oh, my nephew, don't feel offended. I know you are correct. Oh, my nephew, I know you are correct. وَلَكِنْ أَكْرَهُ أَن يُقَالْ جَزَعَ عِنْدَ الْمَوْتِ But I'm afraid I will not able to bear the criticism and the fleck on my name after my death, that people would say I had forsaken the faith of my ancestors at the time of death. وَلَوْلَا أَن يَكُونَ عَلَيْكَ وَعَلَى بَنِي أَبِيكَ غَضَاضًا لَقُلْتُهَا وَلَا أَقْرَرْتُ بِهَا عَيْنَكَ لِمَا أَرَى مِنْ شِدَّةِ وَجْدِكَ وَنَصِيحَتِكَ My nephew, if it wasn't for the fear of the fleck of society and the criticism of the critics, I promise you I would have said the kalima first, just to satisfy your urge and to comfort your passion and to bring joy to your eyes and to soothe your thoughts. And then he sang two couplets. وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ بِأَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ مِّنْ خَيْرِ أَدْيَانِ الْبَرِيَّةِ دِينًا وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ بِأَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ مِّنْ خَيْرِ أَدْيَانِ الْبَرِيَّةِ دِينًا لولا الملامة أو حذار مسبة لوجدتني سمحا بذلك مبينا I know with certainty the faith of my nephew is correct. If it wasn't the fear of embarrassment, I would have embraced his faith. But I'm afraid, my nephew, I will be dying rigidly on the practices of my forefathers. And the verse was revealed to rescue the emotions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِالْمُهْتَدِينَ O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you cannot guide whomsoever you wish, but it remains the prerogative of Allah. It remains the decision of Allah. Scholars of tafsir tell us that while this is a very intricate part and a very sensitive part in the noble life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we should avoid making this topic a discussion, lest it creates or adds to the pain of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in the context of his noble seerah, in the context of the Quran, we discuss it. Wherever it features, we discuss it. But we don't make this a dedicated agenda. We don't make this a topic of discussion. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to contend with the decision of taqdeer, and he had to contend with what Allah had decided. But it doesn't end. Days after that, Khadija radiallahu anha becomes very ill. Just days. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stands by his ailing wife, yu'nisu wahshataha, supporting her. Yaqifu indaha lahzat al-ihtidhar, the last moment of death. Historians refer to this year as Amul Huzn, the year of grief. The Prophet of Allah comes out of the valley of Abu Talib, immediately a major setback, the loss of his uncle, and days thereafter his honorable spouse, noble consort Khadija radiallahu anha, is now terminally ill. So with him are his daughters, Fatima and Umm Kulthum. They stand by the side of the ailing mother Khadija radiallahu anha. You know, I must just mention one added privilege. Many of us might not know this. One added privilege of Khadija radiallahu anha. One day Fatima radiallahu anha came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and she said that, O Prophet of Allah, your other wife, that is Aisha radiallahu anha, which is not her mother, obviously, her mother was Khadija radiallahu anha. Your other wife, that is Aisha radiallahu anha, she always harps on the privilege that she was the only virgin woman that got married to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And rightfully so. It was her privilege and her honor. But obviously, it was a bit insensitive. Fatima radiallahu anha, woman, you know, she took a bit of offense to this. And she said, because her mother, that was Khadija radiallahu anha, was widowed when she got married to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Aisha radiallahu anha used to always say that I'm the only woman that was not married, and I got married to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam single, and all the other wives were widowed or they were divorced. So one day Fatima radiallahu anha came and she said, O Prophet of Allah, I respect what your other wife says, and I take her as a mother. But on behalf of my mother, I feel hurt. On behalf of my mother, I feel hurt. I mean, just imagine her maturity. So the Prophet of Allah gave her a brilliant answer. He said, "In عادت فقولي إن أمي تزوجت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بكرا." Oh Fatima, if my wife Aisha says that again, that she's the only virgin woman that got married to me, you must say to her, my mother's privilege is the other way around. When my mother got married to the Prophet ﷺ, he wasn't married. When my mother got married to the Prophet ﷺ, at that time he was not married before. And anybody after that, by that time my father was married. By that time the Prophet ﷺ was married. But when my mother Khadija got married, she got married to a bachelor in the true sense of the word. So that was obviously the privilege. Anyway, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stands by the side of Khadija radiallahu anha. Lahzat al-ihtidar, the moments of death. We know what a moment it is, and for a union of 25 years. And while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was married to Khadija, he got married to no one else. The narration of Ittihaful Wara bi akhbari ummi al-qura. The narration of Ittihaful Wara bi akhbari ummi al-qura. And in that kitab, the reference was given of Tarajumu Sayyidati Bayt al-Nubuwa. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at Khadija and said, "Bil kurhi ma ara minki ya Khadijatu." بِالْكُرْهِ مَا أَرَى مِنْكِ يَا خَدِيجَةُ وَقَدْ يَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ لِي فِي الْكُرْهِ خَيْرًا. Oh my Khadija, only Allah knows what pain I see you in this agony. Only Allah knows what a heavy heart I see you in this condition. بِالْكُرْهِ, how can I encapsulate it? بِالْكُرْهِ مَا أَرَى مِنْكِ يَا خَدِيجَةُ وَقَدْ يَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ لِي فِي الْكُرْهِ خَيْرًا. Only Allah can give me solace, comfort, and make it easy for me after you leave. And this great soul and this blessed amanat of Sayyidatina Khadija radiallahu anha is removed, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is standing. He falls on his daughter Fatima, and they hug one another, and the dua is recited, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." وَلَمْ تَكُنِ الصَّلَاةُ الْجَنَازَةُ قَدْ شُرِعَتْ. We are speaking of that time in Islam where janaza salah was not yet introduced. So there was no janaza salah at this stage. نَزَلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي حُفْرَتِهَا. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم descended personally in her grave. وَوَسَّدَهَا بِنَفْسِهِ. And he lowered Khadija in her grave, in her abode, with his own blessed hands. Can you imagine for Fatima as a young girl growing up, and her grand uncle goes, and then goes her mother in a span of a week? What's happening? Today they'll be going for counseling, going for therapy, going for this form of motivation, that form of counseling. Can you imagine the strength, the mental maturity, the emotional maturity of Fatima radiallahu anha? Now, I don't want to go into the details. Here comes another challenge in the life of Fatima, is the need for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to get married, and for Fatima, alongside her other sisters, to support the need, appreciating the position of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today, how often it happens, a father has to get married, he lost his wife, the children become objections. No, you shouldn't get married. You're stopping your father from getting married, my brother or my sister, I say to you. But what grips that man in the loneliness of his bedroom? Only him and Allah knows. Who's there to support him at that moment? Getting married after the loss of one's spouse is no act of disloyalty to your partner. These are customs and traditions that we have inherited. How unfaithful he got married, at least he can wait for his daughter to get married. These are the sentiments, and this is the baggage we have inherited. It's not unfaithful to go back to work. It's not unfaithful to flirt, but it's unfaithful to get married. Fatima radiallahu anha understood the need and supported the cause and respected the choice. The Prophet ﷺ got married to an elderly woman by the name of Sauda bint Zam'a radiallahu anha. And in Shawwal of that year, the Prophet ﷺ got married to Aisha radiallahu anha. There's a beautiful kitab, and I don't have time. It has answered all the allegations of pedophile. Wal'ayadhu billah. We don't even entertain that. But for unfortunately for many people who read and think differently, they raise these objections between the union of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Aisha radiallahu anha. And a person has done a brilliant job. He has dissected the word pedophile, explained the entire life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and has concluded by definition of the dictionary, by consensus from an Islamic perspective, that it is an insult, it is an abuse of that word, and it is wrongly applying the connotations to even dare use that word against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I did some thorough research, it's just time doesn't permit us. There's a beautiful book on this here. So the Prophet ﷺ then gets married to Aisha radiallahu anha in Shawwal of that very year. وَبَنَا بِهَا فِي الْمَدِينَةِ. But the relation is obviously consummated in Medina Munawwara. After that comes the time of migration. The Prophet ﷺ migrates to Medina Munawwara. And when he gets there, we can discuss the issue of migration, it's a topic again. Soon after that, he makes arrangements to bring his daughter Fatima, his other daughter Umm Kulthum, and obviously his spouse, Sauda bint Zam'a radiallahu anha. He sent Haritha, Zayd ibn Haritha, and Abu Rafi' with 500 dirhams and two conveyances. Ma'ahuma rahilatan wa khamsu mi'ati darahim. Two conveyances, 500 dirhams, and he said, go to Makkah and bring Fatima, bring Umm Kulthum, bring Sauda bint Zam'a. So they come and they bring them. Fatima radiallahu anha comes to Medina. She's lost her mom. She's lost her uncle, granduncle. Things have developed. The Prophet of Allah got married. For her entire life, as long as the Prophet Khadija was alive, there was no other wife. The multiple spouses all took place after the demise of Khadija radiallahu anha. She's now of age to get married. Fatima radiallahu anha is now of age to get married. Earlier, you know, in the question and answer session, many of the sisters posed that question, and I tried my level best to answer it, but it centered around marriage. What's the time? What's the appropriate procedure? Let me briefly walk you through the marriage of Fatima radiallahu anha. وَلَمَّا بَلَغَتِ الزَّهْرَى مَبْلَغَ النِّسَى طَمَحَتْ إِلَيْهَا الْأَنْظَارِ. When Fatima was of age, then every person became optimistic in this honor. Who wouldn't want to get married to the Queen of Paradise? فَكَانَ فِي جُمْلَةِ مَنْ خَتَبَهَا أَبُو بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرٍ. Amongst the formal proposals that she received was of Abu Bakr and Umar. Understand? You know, a lot of times when things get sour in the relation, then a woman says, I had many proposals. Be honest, my sister, they came to see you, nobody proposed, man. I mean, maybe they did, I'm not making a general statement. But sometimes that's what happens. You know, when things go sour, then what happens is, I had many proposals. I don't know why I got involved here. That's other things we tend to say. She had proposals from Abu Bakr and Umar. And how did it happen? Read the narration of Anas radiallahu anhu. Anas radiallahu anhu came to Abu Bakr and he said, "Ma yamna'uka an tatazawwaj Fatima." Umar radiallahu anhu came to Abu Bakr and he said, "Abu Bakr, what's stopping you from proposing to Fatima radiallahu anha?" So Abu Bakr brushes the topic off and he says, "La yuzawwijuni. The Prophet of Allah won't get me married to his daughter." So Umar said, "Idha lam yuzawwijka faman yuzawwiju?" If he's not going to wed his daughter to you, then who will he wed his daughter to? "Innaka min afdali an-nas wa aqdamihim islama." You accepted Islam first, you're amongst the noblest of people. I'm telling you, why don't you pursue the matter? So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu plucked up courage. He went to his daughter Aisha radiallahu anha. And he said, "Idha ra'aiti min rasulillahi tiba nafsin biki wa iqbalan alayki fadhkuri lahu anni dhakartu Fatima." When you see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in a good mood and he's talking to you, "Oh my daughter," addressing Aisha radiallahu anha, "then whisper to him that I have showed some inclination towards Fatima." What did Abu Bakr say? He told his daughter Aisha radiallahu anha, who was the consort of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when you see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is having a social discussion with you and the time is good, then just break the ice and just introduce the topic and say that, "Yeah, my father also was, you know, mentioning something." You see, today we have a lot of customs. So the sister phoned me, devastated, emotionally broke down. So I said, "What's it? Hold yourself, my sister." She says, "No, you know, my father-in-law passed away. Now my dad is proposing to my mother-in-law." So I said, "What's the problem?" She says, "Then my children will have to call my father Nana and Dada, because he'll be the maternal grandfather and the paternal grandfather." I said, "So what? Now there is a prospect, there is a good opportunity here, but because of this, that my children have to refer to the same person as one granddad or whatever it is, those are issues." So anyway, Aisha radiallahu anha broke the news to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he says, "You know what, my father has just, been discussing, made some inclinations." And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went forward with the formal proposal in a very bashful manner, obviously. And the narration of Tabaqat ibn Sa'ad, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Intadhir al-qada." "Oh Abu Bakr, just wait for what Allah decides." "Abu Bakr, I'm not saying yes, I'm not saying no. Wait for what Allah decides." So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu then obviously left. He came to Umar. He didn't tell Umar, "Yeah, you see Umar, why you send me? You also got me involved, man." No. Alhamdulillah, that is what Allah decided. He said, "Umar, maybe it's meant for you. Maybe it's meant for you." Look at how clean the environment was. So Umar radiallahu anhu comes. And he says, "Oh Prophet of Allah, you know, I have some intentions and inclinations. I would like to wed your daughter Fatima radiallahu anha." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's answer was the very same. Very polite, very courteous, very modest. "Intadhir al-qada." "Oh Umar, let's just wait for what Allah decides. Let's just wait for what Allah decides." Abu Bakr and Umar don't leave it here. They said, "Let's see who's a good prospect." So they said, "You know what, Abdurrahman ibn Auf." Abdurrahman ibn Auf is a wonderful man. He's a wealthy man. He's a respectful man. Let's approach the matter to Abdurrahman ibn Auf. So they go to Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu. And they say, "Oh, Abdurrahman, you are amongst the people who accepted Islam very early. Anta aktharu Qurayshin mala. Allah has favored you with wealth. You are one of the affluent people. Falaw khatabta ila Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why don't you go and propose? Zadakallahu fadlan ila fadlik wa sharafan ila sharafik. Allah will, if this honor comes your way, it will add to your glory, it will add to your fame." So Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu says, "Maybe Allah has kept this for me." And he comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very modestly, very politely. He comes and he proposes. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam declines in the very same way and he gives the same answer, "Wait for what Allah decides." He comes back and he says, "Qad nazala bi mithla alladhi nazala bikuma." I've been given a very common, on a very same answer to what you people have been given. So they discuss amongst themselves, who next? Just look at the Sahaba. I mean, if you go propose and you really want to get married and you are told no, After that, you see what nasty emails he circulates about that family. Today, there's so much behind the scenes. There was a good girl, being a good family, respectful family, that she was receiving proposals and she was declining continuously. And this was brought to my notice by the family. And the parents are very concerned why. It later surfaced that there was one person that was having contact with her unofficially. And he was making false promises to this girl. And now it made sense to the parents why she's refusing proposal after proposal from good families, affluent families, noble families, decent families. So they collectively go and they said, who's the next person? They said, why don't we go to Ali radiallahu anhu? So they all come to Ali radiallahu anhu and they say, قَدْ عَرَفْنَا قَرَابَتَكَ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَقِدْمَكَ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ Ali, it goes without saying, you are the youngest child, the first child to accept Islam. You and the Prophet ﷺ are so close. The narration of Kifayat al-Talib, لَوْ خَطَبْتَ إِلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَخَلِيقٌ أَيْ يُزَوِّجَكَهَا I think, Ali, this is your honor. This honor Allah has exclusively reserved for you. وَبَعْدَ تَرَدُّدٍ يَتَشَجَّعُ عَلِيٌّ First, Ali, no, I'm not ready. Okay, let me take my try. I mean, we know when we go to a proposal. Okay, those of us that are married should know. The others shouldn't be knowing. And we go into a father-in-law who's a simple man, like we are simple, not anything ill about him. Can you imagine the awe of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the fear? يَأْخُذُ طَرِيقَهُ إِلَىٰ إِبْنِ عَمِّهِ He plucks the courage. And he comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Listen to this. جَلَسَ بِجَنْبِهِ He sits next to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. حَيَّاهُ بِتَحِيَّةِ الْإِسْلَامِ السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ He greets the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replies, وَلَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ الْكَلَامِ جَلَالَةً وَهِيبَةً لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ But after that, Ali is silent. Gripped by bashfulness, the awe, the presence, he just can't break the ice. وَأَدْرَكَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَا يُعَانِيهِ إِبْنَ عَمِّي The Prophet of Allah, Allah had given him revelation. I mean, when he spoke to his wife, Hafsa radiallahu anha, and about the secret, and then he asked, they said, have you mentioned this to any of your co-wives? وَإِذْ أَصَرَّ النَّبِيُّ إِلَىٰ بَعْضِ أَزْوَاجِهِ حَدِيثًا فَلَمَّا نَبَّأَتْ بِهِ وَأَظْهَرَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ عَرَّفَ بَعْضَهُ وَأَعْرَضَ عَنْ بَعْضٍ فَلَمَّا نَبَّأَهَا بِهِ قَالَتْ مَنْ أَنْبَأَكَ هَذَا قَالَ نَبَّأَنِيَ الْعَلِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ So the wife said, but who told you? Thinking, she's trying to fish out that the other wife told. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the being above told me. نَبَّأَنِي الْعَلِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ And in one narration it comes, she also then went on to say, that's the problem with your Prophet of Allah, that added advantage. We can't conceal anything, but revelation exposes it. So the Prophet of Allah realized, he got the message. He said, مَا جَاءَ بِكَ يَا Ali. Ali, what's up? What's on? You know, some youngsters, when they just get married, then their phone says, Sheikh, you know, I'm finding like difficult to call my father-in-law daddy, man. I'm like, no. I just don't know how to say it. So he smiled, and he modestly, he dropped his gaze down, and he said, Dhakartu Fatima, O Prophet of Allah, I have come to extend a humble proposal to your daughter Fatima radiallahu anha. Tahallala wajhu nabi. The Prophet ﷺ's face was glowing. Ibtasama, a broad smile. Marhaban bik, hiya laka ya Ali. Welcome and glad tidings, Ali. I was waiting your coming. Allah has destined this for you. This is now an honor, my brother. You know, Fatima is the queen of paradise. Not like this world. You have Miss World, then after a little while, former Miss World. First lady, former Miss Lady. Oh, what happened to her now? No, she's downstep. Somebody else takes over. Fatima remains the queen forever. She's not a former queen. She remains the queen forever. A title never snatched. A privilege never stripped. And in one narration, he said, Ya Rasulallah, Fidaka Abi wa Ummi, may my parents be sacrificed for you. Innaka la ta'lam, you know very well. Annaka akhadhtani, you took me. من عمك أبي طالب. From your uncle, that is my father Abu Talib. ومن فاطمة بنت أسد, and from my mother فاطمة. وأنا صبي, and I was a little child. لا أعقل شيئا, I knew nothing. فهديتني وأدبتني وهذبتني. You guided me, you molded me, you nurtured me. وإن الله هداني بك, and Allah gave me iman through you. واستنقذني مما كان عليه آبائي وأعمامي من الشرك. And by virtue of your presence, Allah freed me from the practices of polytheism which were found in my ancestry. وَأَنَّكَ الذُّخْرِ وَوَسِيلَتِي فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. And O Prophet of Allah, I hold your hands and I ask for your guidance. وَقَدْ جِئْتُكَ خَاطِبًا إِبْنَتَكَ فَاطِمَةً. And I have come here to propose today to your daughter Fatima radiallahu anha. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, okay, Ali, what do you have? He said, I own three things. Dir'i wa sayfi wa farasi. Wa nadihi, actually the narration suggests. I have my conveyance, I have my sword, and I have my armor. That's about it. I own nothing else. And he's going to propose to the queen. You know, this person was going to propose to the princess. So he said, you think you'll make it? He said, yeah, it's halfway through. I've accepted her, just she has to accept me. Halfway down. Well, my friend, in that halfway, half the world has accepted her. It's not only you. Unfortunately, that's the problem. We have one wife in person, and in fantasy we have thousands of eyes. One person turned to Allah, and he said, oh my Lord, you gave me such a small heart, but you make it bear so many pains. It's a vessel of so much trauma. It's a vessel of so much anxiety. Allah said, I gave you two eyes, but it beholds the entire world. I gave you two small eyes, but that eyes are it beholds and loves the entire world. So in person I have one wife, in fantasy I have the entire world. The Prophet of Allah said, okay, you know what, sell your armor. His brother-in-law-to-be, Uthman ibn Affan, because they were married to sisters. Uthman ibn Affan bought the armor for 470 dirhams. Some itar was bought, some deodorants were bought. The nikah was performed. Who attends the nikah? We feel honored. You know what? It got a coverage in the paper. Mr. So-and-so would like to announce that A got married to B, and we wish them a happy future and we wish them a prosperous life. Or there was a bit of a state presence, or there was some, you know, high-profile personnel at the occasion. وَقَدْ شَهِدَ عَقْدَ فَاتِمَا عَلَىٰ عَلِيٍ أَبُو بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرْ وَعُثْمَانِ وَطَلْحَ وَالزُّبَيْرِ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَعَدَدٌ يُمَاثِلُ عَدَدَهُمْ مِنَ الْأَنصَارِ. Abu Bakr, Umar, today if you propose and you decline, will you attend at nikah, my brother? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu attends. Umar, can you imagine? We talk of who was the witness to your marriage. Who was the witness to your marriage? Who were the witnesses to Abu Bakr? Who were the witnesses to Ali? Abu Bakr. Today, unfortunately, the witnesses, you only see them on the occasion of nikah. And when you call that same witnesses up, when there's a talaq, they don't want to come up. I witnessed the marriage, not the break-in. My brother, nobody anticipated it. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Talha, Zubair. And then there was a presence from the Ansar. وَلَمَّا أَخَذَ الْقَوْمُ مَجَالِسَهُمْ. When everybody sat down, the Prophet of Allah read the khutbah. Alhamdulillah, al-mahmood bi-ni'matihi, al-ma'bood bi-qudratihi. Inna Allah azza wa jalla ja'ala al-musaharata nasaban lahiqa, wa amran muftarada, wa hukman adila, wa khayran jami'a, awshaja biha al-arham, wa alzamaha al-anam. فقال الله عز وجل وهو الذي خلق من الماء بشرا فجعله نسبا وصهرا وكان ربك قديرا أشهدكم أني زوجت فاطمة من علي على 400 مثقال من فضة إن رضي بذلك على السنة القائمة والفريضة الواجبة. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم. أطاب الله نسلهما وجمع بينهما وبارك لهما. I don't have time to elaborate, we're running out of time here. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performs the nikah. The walima that was arranged from the side of Ali radiallahu anhu was an amazing walima. فَقَدْ كَانَتِ الْوَلِيمَةُ مِنْ أَفْضَلِ الْوَلَائِمِ. It's the youngest soldier of Islam, the The first boy and the queen of paradise. What a union. You know, that brings me to a narration. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu's narration, Qurtubi has made mention of it. Qurtubi has made mention of the narration. May Allah make us amongst the fortunate people that will be in Jannat. The dwellers of Jannah will be in Jannat, idra'u shamsan, idra'u nuran. They will see this blinding light. So they will ask Ridwan, who's in charge. But Allah said in the Quran in Surah Dahar, لَا يَرَوْنَ فِيهَا شَمْسًا وَلَا زَمْهَرِيرًا لَا يَرَوْنَ فِيهَا شَمْسًا وَلَا زَمْهَرِيرًا. That in paradise there will be no sun nor cold. So what is the sun that has risen here in paradise? In the Quran Allah said there's no sun in Jannah. There's no moon in Jannah. But what is the sun that we've seen here? So Ridwan will say, لَيْسَتْ هَذِهِ شَمْسٌ وَلَا قَمَرٌ وَلَكِنْ هَذِهِ فَاطِمَا وَعَلِي ضَحِكَا فَأَشْرَقَتِ الْجِنَانُ مِن نُورِ ضِحْكِهِمَا. This is not the sun rising. This is Fatima and Ali smiling, which has lit up paradise. This is not the sun rising. So the Prophet's uncle Hamza came, بِشَارِفَيْن, with two camels, نَحَرَهُمَا, slaughtered them, أَطْعَمَ النَّاسِ, fed the people. وَلَمَّا فَرَغَ النَّاسُ مِنَ الطَّعَامِ, when the people had the feast and it was over. And we know we've been encouraged to call the poor at the walima. بِئْسَ طَعَامُ الْوَلِيمَةِ يُدْعَى إِلَيْهَا مَنْ يَأْبَاهَا. Evil indeed is the food of that walima, where you call those people who consider it a burden to come, and you neglect those who passionately want to eat food. You call in a wealthy man to elevate the profile of your occasion, but he's only going to moan and groan on your occasion. Call the poor man who didn't know when last he ate a meal. Anyway, the people ate and the meal was over. And then the Prophet ﷺ comes, according to one narration, there are different narrations. Ata bi baghlatihi ash-shahba. He comes with his conveyance shahba. Thana alayha qatifa. He puts his blessed shawl upon it. Wa qala li Fatima irkabi. He tells Fatima to mount on. Wa amara Salman an yaquda biha. And he tells Salman to hold on to the bridle. Wa amara nisa' al-ansar an yartajizna. And he says to the Ansari woman, now cheer the queen of Jannah. And then the Umm Salma, who was what? Umm Salma radiallahu anha, she said, oh Prophet of Allah, I'll sing a song. Tell them to sing with me. I obviously don't have the voice of the Labbaik group that was here, you know, so just excuse me. But maybe this is something new for them to learn. So anyway, they cheer her on. Sirna bi'auni Allahi jarati, washkurnahu fi kulli halati. وَذْكُرْنَ مَا أَنْعَمَ رَبُّ الْعُلَىٰ مِنْ كَشْفِ مَكْرُوهٍ وَآفَاتِ فَقَدْ هَدَانَا بَعْدَ كُفْرٍ وَقَدْ أَنْعَشَنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ سِرْنَ مَعَ خَيْرِ نِسَاءِ الْوَرَىٰ تَفْدِي بِعَمَّاتٍ وَخَالَاتِ يَا بِنْتُ مَنْ فَضَّلَهُ ذُو الْعُلَىٰ بِالْوَحْيِ مِنْهُ وَالرِّسَالَاتِ. الله أكبر. They say, سِرْنَ بِعَوْنِ اللَّهِ, move with the help of Allah, جَارَاتِ, O young girls. وَشْكُرْنَهُ فِي كُلِّ حَالَاتِ, and be grateful to Allah at every time. وَذْكُرْنَ مَا أَنْعَمَ رَبُّ الْعُلَىٰ مِنْ كَشْفِ مَكْرُوهٍ وَآفَاتِ, and thank Allah for removing all difficulties. فَقَدْ هَدَانَا بَعْدَ كُفْرٍ وَقَدْ أَنْعَشَنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ. Allah has guided us, Allah has inspired us. سِرْنَ مَعَ خَيْرِ نِسَاءِ الْوَرَىٰ. Umm Salma says, remember, this is a moment to be recorded in history. You witness the wedding of the greatest woman on earth. تَفْدِي بِعَمَّاتٍ وَخَالَاتِ. May my aunt be sacrificed for you, O Fatima. يَا بِنْتُ مَنْ فَضَّلَهُ ذُو الْعُلَىٰ بِالْوَحْيِ مِنْهُ وَالرِّسَالَاتِ. O the daughter of that man whose father was privileged with prophethood. Anyway, the Prophet ﷺ takes Fatima radiallahu anha and he brings her to the house of Ali. According to this narration, it was close on to the time of Isha. أَدْخَلَهَا بَيْتَ Ali, enters her into the house of Ali radiallahu anhu, ثُمَّ انصَرَفَ, and then he returns to Masjid al-Nabawi. And it is the time of Isha Salah. أَذَّنَ بِلَالٌ لِصَلَاةِ الْعِشَى. Bilal radiallahu anhu calls out the adhan of Isha. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performs the Salah. ثُمَّ انصَرَفَ. Then he comes back to the house of Fatima radiallahu anha. When he comes back to the house of Fatima radiallahu anha, the women that were there, they all obviously seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they went away. They excused themselves that obviously, you know what, Ali wants to meet with his wife now, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam maybe wants to have a word with his daughter. Dhahabna. وَتَخَلَّفَتْ أَسْمَى بِنْتِ أُمَيْسِ. But Asma radiallahu anhu stayed behind. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ أَنْتِ? Who are you? So she said, أَنَا الَّتِي أَحْرُسُ إِبْنَتَكَ. إن الفتاة ليلة زفافها لابد لها من امرأة قريبة إن عرضت لها حاجة. Oh, Prophet of Allah, I am Asma, and I will spend the night close to your daughter. It's necessary for the newlywed and the bride and the groom on the first night when the bride meets with her husband, then an elderly, a senior, an experienced woman should be close to her so that if she needs anything, then she can confide with a woman. So the Prophet ﷺ really appreciated these words, and the narration suggests he became very emotional, cherishing the memories of Khadija. That if my wife was here today, who better? If my wife was here today, who better to see my daughter off? And he obviously broke down that Khadija is gone. But he said to Asma, I appreciate the role that you play for my daughter Fatima. And I make a dua for you in your favor. As'alu ilahi an yahrusaka an yahrusaki min bayni yadayki wa min khalfiki wa an yameenik wa an shimalik min ash-shaytanir rajim. The narration of Tabaqat ibn Sa'ad. I ask my Allah, O Asma, as you have seen to my daughter today, may Allah perpetually see to you for the rest of your life. ثم دعا بإناءٍ, he asked for a vessel, performed wudu, and then sprinkled water, and he said, may Allah bless your union, and he went. Fatima radiallahu anha came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Prophet of Allah, your sahabi Haritha bin Nu'man has a house very close to you. You don't want to speak to him if he can maybe move out and I can move in so that I can be very close to you. Now Haritha radiallahu anhu had a house actually between the houses of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَكُلَّمَا تَزَوَّجَ النَّبِيُّ انْتَقَلَ حَارِثَ إِلَى بَيْتٍ آخَرٍ. And every time the Prophet ﷺ got married, then Haritha would vacate his premises and take the adjacent home and tell the Prophet of Allah that, you know what, your wife can stay here so that the houses are together. So Fatima radiallahu anha said, O Prophet of Allah, you don't want to ask him one more time if he can move out and just move slightly away in the neighborhood, then I can come and stay close to you. So the Prophet ﷺ said, you know, Fatima, I would love that, but I think I spoke to the man too many times and I'm now feeling shy. And I'm finding it difficult to ask him. I think I need to respect his privacy and I don't want to invade his privacy. I need to respect, you know, what he wants to do in his life. But before the words reached the ears of Haritha radiallahu anhu, for Sahaba, that was an honor. He came running. Ya Rasulallah, balagani annaka turidu an tuhawwil Fatima. O Nabi of Allah, I heard you want to relocate Fatima. Let it not be that you do this without taking my house, O Prophet of Allah. هذه منازلي وهي أقرب بيوت بني النجار. These are my homes, O Prophet of Allah. You take them and you can have all of them. The Prophet of Allah respected it once again and he made dua and he brought Fatima radiallahu anha close to him next to the houses of his wives. Now time is against me. I just want to highlight 2-3 incidents and bring it to a close. After she got married to Ali radiallahu anhu, the first campaign in which she participated was the campaign of Uhud. The first campaign in which Fatima radiallahu anha participated, كانت أول مشاركة لها بعد الزواج غزوة أحد. Now if you're familiar with Uhud, what had happened in Uhud? We need to know, briefly I guess we all do know, it started off where the Muslims were relatively victorious. بدأت المعركة وقد أنزل الله نصرة. The help of Allah was with the Muslims. The Prophet ﷺ had posted 50 Sahaba at a particular place, وَأَمَّرَ عَلَيْهِمْ عَبْدَ ibn Jubair, and he had made Abdullah ibn Jubair in charge of that 50 people, in charge of that 50 archers. And he said to these archers, اِدْفَعِ الْخَيْلَ عَنَّا بِالنَّبْلِ لَا يَأْتُونَ مِنْ خَلْفِنَا إِنْ كَانَتْ لَنَا أَوْ عَلَيْنَا. That you repulse the enemy. They shouldn't attack us. وَأَمَرَهُمْ أَنْ يَلْزَمُوا مَرَاكِزَهُمْ. And he told to them, he said to them, hold on to your place. وَأَلَّا يُفَارِقُوهَا. Do not abandon your location. وَلَوْ رَأَوْا الطَّيْرِ تَتَخَطَّفُ الْعَسْكَرِ. Even if you see vultures hovering above. Now understand this also, my sister. Chaos came in the ranks when 50 people shifted from their post. Allah has given the woman a post. Allah has given the men a post. Today the entire world is confused. The sister doesn't know where she belongs. The man doesn't know where he belongs. The children don't know where they fit into the society. 50 people left that post and a potential victory was turning into an apparent defeat. Just because 50 people moved out. And Abdullah ibn Jubair reminded him, ذَكَّرَهُمْ أَمِيرُهُمْ عَهْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. He said, listen, don't move from here. But unfortunately, they seen the spoils of the war and they went head on. And this confusion was further exploited by the rumor of the assassination of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which added to the panic of Sahaba. And it echoed psychological defeat. But historians say, وَلَمْ تَكُنْ هَزِيمَةٌ وَإِنَّمَا كَانَتْ دَرْسًا لِلْأُمَّةِ الْإِسْلَامِيَّةِ إِلَىٰ أَنْ يَرِثَ اللَّهُ الْأَرْضَ وَمَنْ عَلَيْهَا. This wasn't a defeat, but this was a lesson for the ummah till the day of Qiyamah. Be it as it may, شُجَّ رَأْسُهُ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's blessed head was injured. And this again is the beauty of the Arabic language. Shuj, shajja refers to a head injury. You know, if you go into the Arabic grammar and unpack that, you'll see how marvelous the language is. So shujja, the blessed head of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Jurihat shafatuhu, his blessed lip was hurt. And one of his tooth was obviously made shaheed. وَلَا يَعْلَمُ الْمُسْلِمُونَ بِمَكَانِهِ. And the Muslims can't see him, so there is panic. أَخَذَ عَلِيٌّ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ بِيَدِهِ. Ali رضي الله عنه holds his hand. وَرَفَعَهُ طَلْحَةُ بْنُ عُبَيْدُ اللَّهِ حَتَّى اسْتَوَى قَائِمًا. And Talha ibn Ubaidullah elevates him. وَمَّصَّ مَالِكُ بْنُ سِنَانَ الدَّمْ. And Malik ibn Sinan radiallahu anhu comes and he starts sipping the blood of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The narration of Bukhari, Sahal ibn Sa'd radiallahu anhu says, ask me what happened to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and who nursed his wound. I will tell you the story. Bukhari Sharif, Sahal ibn Sa'd. He said, كَانَ عَلِيٌّ يَسْكُبُ الْمَا وَفَاطِمَةُ تَغْسِلُ جُرْحَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Is not now newlywed, so sit at home. Got married, that Mendy is still on that hands. That means those hands are not working. He says the Prophet got hurt. What a privilege for Fatima. When the Prophet of Allah was being nursed in the battlefield, it was her husband Ali pouring water. And Fatima was nursing the wound and washing the wound. Falam, look at her intelligence. Look at her intelligence. Now we talk of, you know, at least the children need to have basic first aid skills. Falamma ra'at Fatimatu anna al-ma'a la yazidu ad-dama illa kathra. It's in the battle. The Prophet of Allah is injured. The blood is oozing. Ali is pouring water. And as she's washing it, she realized that water is aggravating the wound and increasing the flow of blood. She doesn't panic. She doesn't become hysterical. There's no 911. There's no paramedics. What does she do? أخذت قطعة من حصيرة. She takes a mat, quickly, a small piece. أحرقتها. Whatever is available, she burns it. ألصقتها. And then she sticks it onto the blessed cheek. فاستمسك الدم. And the blood stops immediately. Her intelligence was so amazing. She one day comes to visit the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وفي عنقها قلادة من ذهب. And she's wearing a gold pendant. As a rule, Fatima radiallahu anha did not really wear jewelry. If you study her life, you would know she was not one into jewelry. You know, some women just don't like it and some just can't leave it. We have the letter. Whichever way luck goes for you. But it's inherent. Our man yunashaw fil hilya, the Quran says that women love wearing jewelry and there's nothing wrong with it. It's perfectly permissible. Nay, it is her beauty and Allah has made her. She should wear it. But obviously she shouldn't display it to strange men. So she had one day, she put on a pendant of gold. And she came and she sat down next to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jalasa bi jambihi. Waqa'a nadhru an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala al-qalada. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's gaze fell on that gold pendant. Waja'ala yukarriru an-nadhra. And he's repeating his glance. Wa Fatimatu tutabi'u hadhihi an-nadarat. And Fatima is seen like, my father is looking so strange. What's happening? Now look at her intelligence. تدرك فاطمة بذكائها أن نظر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وقع على القلادة. She put two and two together. She applied her mind. She ran her logic. She understood his nature. She appreciated his sentiments. She said, my father looks unhappy with this pendant. It's perfectly permissible. It's halal earned. It's totally correct. But she understood. No questions asked. She excused herself. Imagine if we had children like that. May Allah give us. And may Allah make us children like that to our parents, that a mere glance from a parent is enough for the child to understand the message. Today you explicit and you emphatic, and the son looks in the opposite direction. Says, Dad is talking to you. He's not telling me, he's talking to you. Fatima goes. She sells that pendant. She sells that pendant. Allahu Akbar. She says, now what am I going to do? She takes the money. She goes and purchases a slave. And she liberates him. Once upon a time, this was the surprise a child gave to a parent. You know when you say, give your mother a surprise? Give your father a surprise? What a surprise, O Fatima. What maturity may my parents be sacrificed for you? She comes back and she sits down. Doesn't say anything. The Prophet of Allah politely asks, what happened to that qalada? What happened to your pendant? She said, Ya Rasulallah, laqad bi'tu al-qaladata wa ashtaraytu bithamaniha abdan wa a'taqtuhu. O Nabi of Allah, I sold the pendant, purchased a slave, and liberated him for the pleasure of Allah. Was the Prophet of Allah elated? Did he stand up, hug and embrace Fatima? And this also the scholars say, that هذه خصوصية لبنت المصطفى حيث أن لبس الذهب ليس بحرام ولكن في حق فاطمة قضية أخرى. Two incidents and I wrap up. We are right against time. One day the Prophet ﷺ sitting with his Sahaba. He said, let me ask you people a question, a quiz. أي شيء خير للنساء? What's the best thing for a woman? What's the best gift? Today you ask a woman, she won't know herself. Because last time that was the best. Then the next time when you buy it, then, okay, Jazakallah. You know, do you know where I shopped for it? Do you know in what traffic I went through? Do you know what a burden it was carrying it in my luggage flying all the way? Oh, all right, yeah, leave it there. That's why I say, and I'm not saying to women only, all of us, we are passionate to follow or please someone whose joy and whose displeasure is fluctuating by the second. Yesterday what impressed my wife depresses her today. Yesterday what intrigued my son offends him today. Why not make Allah the focus of our pleasure? What pleased Allah 1400 years ago pleases him today. So when I'm buying that shoe for my wife, despite my time and my effort, I don't have certainty if she's happy. But I swear by Allah, when you get up in the dead of night and you pray to Allah, rest assured Allah is happy. My young brother, when you drop your gaze and you walk, you don't have to fear, is it accepted or rejected? Does my Allah like it or dislike it? He has confirmed he loves it. But unfortunately, that's not what we're focusing on. So anyway, I asked the Sahaba, what's the best thing for women? None of them can answer. Ali radiallahu anhu quietly goes to Fatima. Tell me quickly, what's the best thing? Quietly, Fatima just whispered in my ears. She said, Halla qulta lahu alla yarayna ar-rijal wala yarawnahunna? Why you didn't tell my father the best thing is keep men and women separated? She can't see men can't see her. That's the best thing. What words? Brief, concise, comprehensive. Those who chant the slogans of progress, those who chant the slogans of advancing the cause of Islam, it's not my word or the word of clerics. It's not the word of any fraternity. These are the articulate sentiments of the Queen of Paradise. So Ali comes back quickly. I got the answer. Allah yarayna ar-rijal. Nabi Sassam said, yeah, you got it, but who told you the answer? You know, sometimes a child phones on a radio program. Yeah, I know who was the first scientist. Okay, my boy, what's your dad's name? Oh, my father is a scientist. All right, thank you. We know where you got your answer from. Man allamaka hadha? Ali, who taught you this? Fatima. Nabi Sassam said, Fatima tu budhatum minni. It can only be my Fatima. It can only be my Fatima. I bring you now to the closing remarks. And I wrap up, actually, my time is short. How can I condense the life of such a great woman? The Prophet of Allah is in his fatal illness. He said, call my Fatima and come quickly. She comes. Ka'anna mishyataha mishyatan Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aisha radiallahu anha said, the Prophet of Allah is in his fatal illness. Fatima walks literally like the walk of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ajlasaha an yamini aw an shimali. He said, Fatima, sit down. He whispers something to her. She cries. He whispers something again. She smiles. Aisha radiallahu anha said, what was this conspiracy? What was this private discussion? Fatima said, I can't divulge it. It's a secret. Anyway, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passes away, then Aisha radiallahu anha says, what was the secret between you and your father? He said, my father said to me, Inna Jibril kana ya'tini kulla am fayu'aridhuni al-Qur'an marratayn fayu'aridhuni al-Qur'an marra wa innahu 'aradhani al-Qur'an marratayn. That every year Jibril would come and rehearse the Qur'an once with me, But this year he rehearsed it twice. وَلَا أَظُنُّ إِلَّا أَجَلِي قَدْ حَضَرْ. And I think that's a clear sign, Fatima, I'm leaving. When he said that, I broke down. When he seen my tears, he comforted me and he said, I will be the first to join him from the family after his demise. Fatima stood by the bedside of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and she seen the pangs of death. So she said, Wa karba aba, wa karba aba. Oh my dad, your pain is so severe. Oh my dad, your pain is so intense. So the Prophet of Allah looked at her and he said, Laysa ala abiki karabun ba'd al-yawm. Fatima, this is the last you seen your father in pain, my darling. This is the last you seen your father in pain. After this, there is no pain. Me and you will be together in Jannat. Laysa ala abiki karabun ba'd al-yawm. He then calls Hassan and Hussein. Qabbalahuma. He kisses them. Awsalahuma bi khair. He advises the ummah, take care of my grandchildren. He calls his spouses. He advises them. He says to the ummah, As-salata wa ma malakat aymanukum. Fear Allah with regards to salah and take care of your subjects and your slaves. And then, I'm not going into the detail. His blessed soul is removed. His blessed soul is removed. The body is taken. And the ghusl is given and he's lowered into the grave. Fatima radiallahu anha said, مَاذَا عَلَى مَنْ شَمَّ تُرْبَةَ أَحْمَدْ أَلَّا يَشُمَّ مَدَى الزَّمَانِ غَوَالِيَا. Oh, wow, look at these words. مَاذَا عَلَى مَنْ شَمَّ تُرْبَةَ أَحْمَدْ أَلَّا يَشُمَّ مَدَى الزَّمَانِ غَوَالِيَا. سُبَّتْ عَلَيَّ مَصَائِبُ لَوْ أَنَّهَا سُبَّتْ عَلَى الْأَيَّامِ عُدْنَ لَيَالِيَا. First she said, أَجَابَ رَبًّا دَعَا. يَا أَبَتَا إِلَى جِبْرِيلَ نَنْعَا. يَا أَبَتَا جَنَّةُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ مَأْوَا. Oh my father, you responded to what Allah has called you. When somebody passes away, we have to console his friends. Who do we console? Do we console Jibreel? He's your closest friend. Then she said, the one who has smelled the soil of my father's grave doesn't have to smell fragrance for the rest of his life. What did she say? مَاذَا عَلَى مَنْ شَمَّ تُرْبَةَ أَحْمَدْ أَلَّا يَشُمَّ مَدَى الزَّمَانِ غَوَالِيَا. سُبَّتْ عَلَيَّ مَصَائِبُ لَوْ أَنَّهَا سُبَّتْ عَلَى الْأَيَّامِ عُدْنَ لَيَالِيَا. I have been befallen with such a catastrophe, such a colossal challenge, such a mammoth problem. If it had to fall onto the day, even the day will be instantly converted into night. The day doesn't have the muscle to support the death of my father. 6 months thereafter, it's her time up. She calls Ali radiallahu anhu. And she says, إِنَّنِي لَا أَرَانِي إِلَّا لَاحِقَةٌ بِأَبِي سَاعَةً بَعْدَ سَاعَةٍ. You know what, my husband? Minute by minute, second by second, I can see my father calling me and my soul getting closer to Akhirat. وَأَنَا أُوسِيكَ بِثَلَاثَةِ أَشْيَاءِ. I want to say three things to you, O my husband Ali, before I go. 6 months later. So he says, أُوسِينِي بِمَا شِئْتِ. Tell me my wife. Whatever you want to tell me. وَأَخْرَجَ مَنْ كَانَ فِي الْبَيْتِ. And whoever was in the room, he said, please excuse yourself. This is a moment of you know what, seclusion. It's the last moments of my wife, and we don't know if we'll ever meet again. So he excuses everyone from the room. وَجَلَسَ عِنْدَ رَأْسِيَا. He sits by her head. So she says, يَبْنَ الْعَمْ مَا عَهَدْتَنِي كَاذِبَةً وَلَا خَائِنَةً وَلَا خَالَفْتُكَ مُنْذُ عَاشَرْتَنِي. Oh my husband, as well as my cousin, since the time I'm married to you, you know very well, I've never betrayed you, I've never been disloyal to you, and I have never ill-treated you in any way. So he bursts out in tears and he says, Ma'ad Allah, anti a'lam billah, wa abarru wa atqa. O Fatima, you fear Allah, you are very pious, you've never done that. Well, you know what, you don't need to say this, I am in pain, it's just going to make me get more emotional. Wa qad azza alayya mufaraqatuki, wa jaddat alayya musibatu rasulillah. And as I'm seeing you leaving, I am reminded by the painful death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Illa annahu amrun la budda minhu. But if Allah has ordained it, it will happen, and I have no choice to do anything or to wish otherwise. Thumma bakaya. When Ali radiallahu anhu said this, they both started crying. Wa akhadha ra'saha fi hijri. Ali radiallahu anhu took her lap and he put it in his. He took her head and he put it in his lap. And he said, Oh, sini bima shi'ti. Fatima, talk to me. Whatever you want to say, I'm listening. What a moment. Ah, what were her words? What were her words? What are the words of a woman today? He said, three things I'm saying to you. Ali, you will have to get married. That's life. Look at her maturity. You will have to get married, and I know you're going to get married. I'm asking you, get married to my niece. That's my first advice to you. That is my eldest sister, Zainab. I spoke about her early. My eldest sister, Zainab, her daughter, Umama. That's my niece. I want you to get married. She will have a lot of care for my little Hassan and Hussein. So that's my first advice to you. You have to get married. Not emotional, except in what has happened. The second thing is, I'm very, very concerned about how you cover my body when I pass away. Make sure my entire body is concealed. My sister, this is who you ought to emulate. And the third thing is, bury me by night. To add to my bashfulness that nobody can see, bury me by night. So bury me by night, get married to my niece, and cover my body totally. Ali radiallahu anhu said, I will do accordingly. And she takes her last breath and she passes away. It was a Tuesday night. It was the 11th year of Hijrat. She was 29 of age, and it was the blessed month of Ramadan. At her death, at her janaza, Ali radiallahu anhu sang three couplets. Ali radiallahu anhu sang three couplets. Allahu Akbar, what do I say? He said, أَرَى عِلَلَ الدُّنْيَا عَلَيَّ كَثِيرًا أَرَى عِلَلَ الدُّنْيَا عَلَيَّ كَثِيرًا I see the challenges of this world are just mounting upon me. I lost Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now I'm losing my wife. وَصَاحِبُهَا حَتَّى الْمَمَاتِ عَلِيلُهُ But then the reality is, a person in this world is sick until he will be faced with challenges till death. لِكُلِّ اجْتِمَاعٍ بَيْنَ خَلِيلَيْنِ فُرْقَةٍ The union between every two will be ended in separation. وَكُلُّ الَّذِي دُونَ الْفِرَاقِ قَلِيلُ And everything besides separation is trivial. And these were his last words. وَإِنَّ افْتِقَادِي فَاطِمًا بَعْدَ أَحْمَدٍ دَلِيلٌ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا يَدُومَ خَلِيلُ The fact that I'm losing my Fatima after I lost my Prophet is a proof that no friend will remain forever. May Allah inspire us with the reality that we read their lives and learn from their lives. And may Allah give Fatima radiallahu anha a befitting reward and the highest abodes in Jannah. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.